What is happening, everybody? Welcome to Season 4, Episode 5 of Sports Bar Talk. All right, I want to get this out of the way at the beginning. I'm sorry there was no episode last week. Got a little too busy running errands and doing various assignments and stuff. And to make a long story short, didn't have enough time to put out a podcast episode last week. So here were the picks last week that we will not count. For Thursday Night Football, who played last week? Oh, it was the Niners and the Rams. I think I was on the Rams. I don't know. I do not remember. But how about San Fran going in there and getting a win? Sunday afternoon block, we would have had the Chargers to win. Jaden Daniels looked pretty good. The Commanders, they appear to be just looking just fine. Sunday Night Football, we would have taken New England plus the 8.5. Did not expect the Patriots to win outright. I thought maybe it would be a close game type scenario. Low scoring. And the Patriots won the football game. So credit to Vrabel, Drake Mayan, the crew. Great game for Stephon Diggs. So the Patriots. And then the Chiefs. We would have had them minus 3. And if Trevor Lawrence doesn't play hero ball, or if Mahomes, the big play in that game was the Mahomes pick 6. That was the play that won Jacksonville the game. Because it reminded me so much of the Malcolm Butler interception play. It was like 3rd and goal, I believe, or 4th and goal. There might have been a pass interference there on Jacksonville. But that was the play that ultimately changed the game, because it looked like Kansas City was going to run away with it. And it gave Trevor and the Jags a lot of confidence on offense. Some tremendous throws. Travis Hunter with his welcome to the NFL moment. Trevor Lawrence, I think, actually had his welcome to the NFL moment, too. He slayed the beast. He slayed the dragon. He slayed the king. It almost felt like a David versus Goliath scenario. And for all the talks of how bad the Jaguars were going to be this year, are they a team? Could they? This reminds me of the Jaguars team from 2017. No one really talked about them, projected to be bad. And what did they go out and do? They go to the AFC Championship game where they should have taken down Tom Brady. There was some egregious calls by the refs and Tom Brady going into superhuman mode. But it feels really promising in Jacksonville. They've beaten the Texans. This is the AFC South is their division to lose. I know the Texans seem to finally be getting clicking, but Trevor Lawrence is balling. They've got a great young receiving core in Travis Hunter, Brian Thomas Jr., Parker Washington, Brenton Strange, the tight end. Although I do believe he's going on injured reserve. It's a great team. It's a good team. Great kicker in Cam Little. So look out for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I have a feeling this won't be the first time we see him on primetime this year or in a standalone window, as you might say. All right, let's move on to the picks this weekend. How was y'all's week, first off? Great, good week for me, other than the New York Yankees. All right, let's dig into Thursday Night Football. We're going to the Meadowlands, MetLife Stadium, where the defending champion Philadelphia Eagles, coming off of a loss, by the way, to the Denver Broncos, by the way. No more undefeated teams in the NFL this season. The 75 Dolphins can pop the champagne like they all the living Dolphins do every year from that team whenever the last undefeated team goes down, as they are the only team in the history of the NFL to have a perfect season in the NFL, which includes winning a Super Bowl. So congratulations to the Dolphins, all Dolphins fans who were alive during that time. I'm sure we have some people that listen to this podcast that were up watching that game when they were little kids or if they were adults. So congratulations to you guys. You live to see another year. So let's dig into the matchup. We've got the, we'll spend most of the time talking about the Giants here because, of course, since we last talked about the Giants, you know, they had Russell Wilson as their starter, and now they've turned to Jackson Dart, the rookie out of Ole Miss, who actually is playing some decent football. Tough loss last week to the Saints, but remember, the week before, they beat the Chargers, so they have a team that's good. Now, I don't know what happened on Sunday. I had part of that game on Sunday. I think just the offense is bad. Turnovers are terrible. And it's the same old for the Giants. They have a good team, but could you chalk it up to coaching? I mean, you very well could. I don't think you can chalk it up to coaching. This is Brian Daboll's last stand, though, because this is a quarterback he drafted. Remember, Daniel Jones came from the previous regime for the Giants. And, of course, ever since they got rid of Jones, it was Russ and backups, basically. Now he's inheriting his guy, and if he can't turn it around with Dart, Daboll's going to be shown the door. And here was a thing I was thinking, you know, with all this Belichick stuff coming out, I don't think any NFL team's going to want him as a head coach or even in an organization as a coordinator or a special consultant. So I think, and by the way, I do believe Belichick will be fired, and I think there's a really good chance he's coached his last game at North Carolina. It's a shame. And I have a feeling that apparently if he can find a spot at a media venture, that's how he'll leave early. But I think if he's not gone early, he'll be gone at the end of the year. I'll say this about Belichick real quick, and then we'll get back to the Giants-Eagles. I am sure that Pat McAfee, Peyton and Eli Manning, Underdog Fantasy, which hosted his podcast that he had last year, and Inside the NFL, and I think there might be one more media venture. Oh, let's go with on SiriusXM. I am sure they would love to have Bill Belichick back on their airwaves, on their platforms, maybe as soon as 2 weeks. And I'm sure they'd love to have him. And you could argue Belichick had a great media career going. I thoroughly enjoyed his broadcasting career. I loved watching him on the Manning Cast. I loved watching or listening to his podcast. I'm sure there are past episodes on Apple. When you're not listening to my podcast, go listen to his podcast because it'll make you feel better about football and knowledgeable. He had a weekly spot on Pat McAfee that was great. He did the NFL draft with McAfee in 2024. I got to see Belichick in the flesh that year. He had a great media career. So I'm sure those outlets, I think the Underdog one especially, they bring him back. So that's just my take on the Belichick thing. Let's get back to what I was talking about with the Giants. I don't think Belichick is going to get any NFL interest, but could the Giants really think about firing Daboll and bringing in Belichick? I know everyone talks about the Dolphins, but I think the Giants are an outlier here. Even maybe the Jets. I know Belichick did kind of turn down the Jets. But it's possible. It's possible. Because remember, owners have the final say in who the head coach of their football team is. And if an owner really loves a coach, regardless of how controversial they are, they will bring in that guy to be their head coach. Or how bad they are, they'll bring in that guy. Or how inexperienced they are, they'll bring in that guy. A vote of confidence. Now, in terms of, I don't know if we've done a Giants game this year, I can't remember, but Jackson Dart, quarterback, he's actually done really well. He's a great scrambler. Can also throw the ball nice as well. So it's something the Giants have lacked really since Eli Manning left. Running back wise, you know, I think we've talked about this before. It's a mixed bag there at the running back position. But Cam Scadabo, even though he's listed as the third stringer on the depth chart, he's really becoming the lead back, the rookie out of Arizona State. He's done really well. He's even becoming a little pass catcher. He reminds me a lot of Peyton Hillis, the old Cleveland Browns running back from about 12 years ago. Just angry run type of mentality. Could catch screen passes. Really good there. And then, you know, Theo Johnson's become the number one tight end there. I actually think he could get in the end zone tonight and score a touchdown for the Giants. Really good option there. Jalen Hyatt, Bo Collins, Wandale Robinson's a good running or wide receiver. Of course, defensively, you know, they have a great defense. I don't know where the results can come in, though, after you give up, like, 26 points to New Orleans. Thibodeau, Kayvon Thibodeau, that is, Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns. It's very interesting to see. And then, of course, we've talked about this before, but the Scottish Hammer, Jamie Gillen, handling the punts for the Giants, really good there. So, in terms of injury reports for this game, Darius Slayton's not playing this week. Hamstring issue, didn't practice all week. He's been listed as out. Tyrone Tracy, not going to matter much because most of the touches will go to Scadabo anyway, but he had a shoulder injury. He was a limited participant all week in practice. So when inactives come out at around 6:45 Eastern, just keep an eye there. Javon Holland, same issue, calf issue, but a limited participant all week. Dart had a hamstring issue going in, did a limited practice Monday, but he's been a full participant Tuesday and Wednesday, so no issues there. I think he should go. Eagles-wise, Saquon, knee issue, didn't practice on Monday, was limited Tuesday, was full yesterday, he will go. Grant Calcaterra, the backup tight end, won't be going, so expect a lot more of Dallas Goedert as the main tight end, although he is the main tight end, but he will probably play majority of the snaps now. Landon Dickerson will not play with an ankle injury. Jalen Carter, listed as questionable, showed up yesterday on the injury report as a limited participant with a heel issue, so we'll see. He's listed as questionable. Jahad Campbell, bicep issue, he's a linebacker, was a full participant yesterday after being limited on Monday and Tuesday, so he's a go. So that's the injury report, and, you know, this does feel like the same exact scenario we were in with New England last week. But, however, New England's got the coach. They had a quarterback that is not a rookie. He's a sophomore, remember? And they've got a well-established receiver in Stephon Diggs. They're showing promise at running back. Tight end, an experienced tight end, Hunter Henry. They've got a great offensive coordinator in Josh McDaniels. So I think this could be a blowout. I know it's at MetLife. Give me the Philadelphia Eagles minus the 7 in what I think is a huge bounce back spot for them after losing to Denver. A game that, they, you know, last week against Denver, they kind of like get away from them. Because they were up 17-3 at one point in the fourth quarter. And somehow they gave it away. So give me the Eagles minus this. I almost said the 3 there. Minus the 7. That is the line there. Total, by the way, at 40.5. And that is Thursday Night Football. Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit on the call. Alright, let's go. We have a Monday Night doubleheader. But we'll pick that Bears-Commanders game. We're not going to pick Bills-Falcons. Because I want to pick the Bucks-Buccaneers game in our 1 and 4 o'clock block window. So, this will be the game, Bears-Commanders, 8:15. This, I believe, will be on ABC. This will, of course, be the game Joe and Troy are at. If you want the, and this will be on your local ABC station. Bills-Falcons will be on ESPN. And that game will be called, of course, by the voice of college football for ESPN, Chris Fowler, Lewis Riddick, and then Dan Orlovsky on the call. That'll be a good game to see. Line is Bills minus 4.5. That seems like a sketchy line. I'm not going to make it an official pick, but Buffalo minus 4.5 seems like a gift of a line. With the Falcons could definitely win the game outright. It kind of reminds me of a Jacksonville situation from last week. So we'll see there. But in terms of the Bears and the Commanders, Bears, of course, are coming off of a bye week. They look pretty good on a couple weeks ago. They beat the Raiders. Of course, we've started the bye week brigade of basically all the teams having bye weeks here in the next month or two. The Steelers, of course, had their bye week. No injury report yet, but I think what is important to realize, you know, teams off bye weeks, you have some guys that will come back from injury and stuff. Not really much in terms of depth chart updates to keep in mind. I think Colston Loveland actually might be out for the year. He's one of the tight ends, the second tight end alongside Komet. And I don't know if he's hurt or not. I've read something he was hurt. But they have Durham Smythe as well as another good backup tight end. In terms of the Commanders, they, of course, come off the win against the Chargers 27-10. Before that, they had lost to Atlanta 34-27. Solid. Jaden Daniels looks really good. I believe they're potentially getting McLaurin back this week. He was listed as questionable. Again, we have no injury reports to go off of, but it's a team that's, even without McLaurin, they look really scary. Luke McCaffrey is starting to get some reps. Deebo Samuel looked like the Deebo Samuel we knew and loved from San Francisco. Ertz is playing good at tight end, although he was nowhere to be found on Sunday. Defensively, this defense just continues to get better. Look what they did to the Chargers. I mean, Javon Kinlaw, Daron Payne, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, Trey Amos. So they have a really good team, I think. And so when we look at the line is 4.5. The game is in D.C. And if you remember last year, the game's in Maryland, technically. But we'll call it D.C. Remember last year, the Bears came in, and they thought they won the game. And Jaden Daniels with a miracle Hail Mary to win the game. And that kind of kickstarted the Commanders' run. So I think there is some revenge on Chicago's mind. And I like how Caleb Williams is playing. The record might not show it, but I think he's improved a lot from his first year. So I'm going to take the Bears plus 4.5. Remember, also, the thing about these games in D.C., you know, a lot of people from all over the country have to move to D.C. because maybe they work in the government or whatnot. And so they show up at these games. And so it's kind of like SoFi. You might get a full stadium takeover. I don't think that happens much now because the Commanders are good. But there will be some cheers for the Bears. There will be some Bears crowd, pro-Bears crowd there. So give me the Bears plus 4.5. All right, let's move to the 1 and 4 o'clock block. I think you know where we're getting at for our game, for our Sunday Night Football, where we're going last. But we'll go to Niners-Bucks. And it's very interesting. 49ers, they come out and they beat the Rams in overtime. But Brock Purdy is still not practicing. But the Niners might have a quarterback controversy on their hands. Because Mac Jones is playing amazing football right now. There's legit, Kyle Shanahan might have a legit decision to make when Brock Purdy's back and healthy. Maybe you go with the 2-quarterback system. I don't know. But in terms of everything going on with the injuries, you know, Purdy's had a toe issue. Didn't practice yesterday. We'll wait to see what happens today. Mac Jones was a limited participant with a knee and an oblique issue. I don't think you got to worry that much. Juwan Jennings, ankle and rib issue. He's hurt. But here's the point I wanted to get at first. Kyle Shanahan for Coach of the Year looks appealing. Don't be surprised if he wins it. Because look at what he has to deal with all these injuries. And yet, this team somehow, some way, has a good record. They're 4-1. They're first in the NFC West. If they can sustain this, Kyle Shanahan has to be Coach of the Year. I know you normally give it to the best coach, but we have to keep in mind with situations. Kevin O'Connell had a messy situation last year, and he won Coach of the Year. If the Niners keep this up, you gotta have Shanahan's gotta win Coach of the Year. That's just my opinion. Now, back to the injury report. Jordan Watkins, another wide receiver, didn't practice yesterday with a calf issue. The punter, Thomas Morstead, he had a back issue, but he was a full participant. Ricky Pearsall, the other talented wide receiver, didn't practice yesterday. He had a knee issue. Of course, he sat out last week's game as well. Kendrick Bourne, full participant with a rib issue. He's appearing to be the number one guy when, like, Pearsall can't go. McCaffrey, rest, didn't suit up, but that's his normal protocol. Then we look at the Bucs injury report. Buccaneers look really good too, by the way. 4-1, beating Seattle in the throwback uniform battle. Chris Godwin, he's getting closer to getting back. Didn't practice yesterday, still having that fibula issue. Mike Evans still out with that hamstring issue. I believe he's on IR. Lavonte David, limited participant with a knee issue. Tristan Wirfs, one of their talented offensive tackles, was a limited participant with a knee issue. Bucky Irving didn't practice, still having foot and shoulder issues. So, yeah, those are like the bulk of the notable injuries on the injury report. In terms of the line, the Niners are 3-point underdogs. The Bucs are 3-point favorites. Total is set at 47.5. And I do believe this is the featured game in the 425 window on CBS. This will be the Nance and Romo game. And I think the Niners are going to cover this 3-point line. I think it's going to be close. This is a Niners team that is hungry to keep proving people wrong. Yes, the Bucs are a good team. And this is the rare occasion where I am not going to take Tampa Bay. But the Niners have something going. And I think there could be some more undervalue here. So give me 49ers, San Francisco, to cover 3 points. And then we go to Sunday Night Football. And if the Tigers win tomorrow night, this could be an all-time Detroit sports night on Sunday night. Because at the same exact time, you will have as Sunday Night Football when Jared Goff and the Lions head to take on Mahomes and the Chiefs. You'll also have at the same exact time the Tigers in game one of the ALCS against the Blue Jays. If the Tigers win tomorrow night, which we hope they do. Because I truly believe the Tigers going far would be one of the better outcomes for MLB in terms of making money. Seattle would be good too, but I think Detroit needs it more. And yeah. I think that would just be a great outcome. I think I think the Tigers have a great underdog mentality, which I think the American sports fan is missing in that story. So I think I would like to see the Tigers win, which means it would be an all-time sports night. So you might want to go to a Buffalo Wild Wings if you're in Michigan. Or good luck trying to get into a Buffalo Wild Wings or any sports bar in the Detroit metro area, because everyone's going to be locked in on both these games. I don't know what people will be locked in more to, though. That maybe game one of an ALCS where it's a best of seven series. You can watch those more games. This is a Super Bowl preview right here, in my opinion. Yes, I know the Chiefs are struggling. They're 2-3, but this is a Super Bowl preview. And you know what? This line's fishy. So I'll give the pick right now, and then we'll go right into the injury report. The Lions are 2.5-point dogs. In what world are the Lions 2.5-point dogs when they've looked dominant ever since week one? When they took down the Ravens. Now, in hindsight, we now know the Ravens are not looking too good. The Chiefs took out the Ravens pretty good. But the Lions have looked unstoppable. Maybe it's because the game is in Kansas City and they think the Arrowhead crowd will affect Jared Goff and the play calling and the offense. I got news for you. They went into Baltimore, which might be more of a hostile environment than Kansas City, and they shut those fans up really quick. So, let's dig into the injury report. The pick, by the way, is Lions plus 2.5, if you didn't already know. Tyrion Arnold, the cornerback, it kind of would be big if he didn't go. Shoulder issue, he didn't practice today or yesterday, so that's kind of a bummer. Kirby Joseph as well, the safety. Knee issue, didn't practice yesterday or today as well. Let's find some good injury news. Here we go. Amon-Ra St. Brown didn't practice yesterday with a wrist issue, but he was a full participant today. Khalif Raymond, neck issue, was limited today, but didn't practice yesterday. Brian Branch, the other DB, limited participant yesterday and today with an ankle issue. Avante Maddox, hamstring issue, was limited today. So, we'll see. Taylor Decker, the tackle, didn't practice yesterday and today with a shoulder issue. In terms of Kansas City, Mahomes landed on the injury report. Full participant, though, groin issue, expect him to go. Juju Smith-Schuster, full participant, knee issue, both days. Xavier Worthy ended up not practicing today after being a full participant yesterday. Shoulder issue, ankle issue, kind of combined. That could be a big one if he doesn't go. Kareem Hunt, full participant, calf issue. On the defensive side of the ball, not too many names there. Christian Fulton, ankle issue, was, of course, a full participant. Nick Bolton, with a calf issue, full participant. Jeffrey Bassa, full participant with a knee issue. So, those are the injuries, and my pick again is Lions plus 2.5. So, Eagles minus the 7. Niners to cover the 3. Lions to cover the 2.5. And the Bears to cover the 4.5. A lot of underdogs this week. I like it. Alright, restaurant of the week. Last Friday, went out with my parents for a little dinner. We chose a place that has been on our list since we moved here. Shields' Pizza. And they were voted the number one pizza in Detroit, not only by the tasting table, but by the NBC station here, WDIV. So, that's how you know the expectations are high. And so what I did, I got, by the way, 3 locations. Downtown Detroit, I believe it's right on Woodward there. Maple Road in Troy, that's the one we went to. And then they have one in Southfield on Telegraph Road. Now, here's what we did. We got 2 appetizers to start. The Cajun steak tips, because my mom wanted them. And they were really good. They put melted blue cheese on top of the steak tips. Served them with this zip sauce that was just like melted butter and like Cajun seasonings. Holy moly, it was amazing. And then we also got truffle garlic parm fries that were really, really good. My breath was kicking, but I didn't care. It was amazing. And then in terms of, I got a build your own pizza. Regular hand-tossed round, because I heard that their pizza was kind of a Greek style, and that's my favorite style of pizza. So, I just got a regular cheese. Their cheese was Wisconsin brick. And I got ham and garlic. It was an amazing pie. An amazing pie. I could see why it won the awards. And I hope Dave Portnoy's been to this place. If not, he's got to get there. Just a tremendous pie. It's Polish ham I got, by the way. Not even regular ham. Polish ham. And it was a really good pizza. I stole some of my father's onion rings. They were pretty good. One of the better onion rings I've had in my lifetime. My mom got lemon chicken piccata. That was to die for. And then we ended our meal with a nice slice of pumpkin pie. Now, you know, now that we're getting into October, the pumpkin pies are starting to come out. A lot of restaurants are having Thanksgiving specials, whether it be the Gobblerito at Mad Mex in Pittsburgh, but now the restaurants are starting to serve pumpkin pie with whipped cream, and this was a pretty good pumpkin pie. You could taste the cinnamon, all the notes of flavor and pumpkin. The whipped cream was whipping good, and so yeah, Shields Pizza, I think it might be the place we take relatives and out-of-town guests when they come visit. And yeah, it was voted even Michigan's best pizza. I'm not sure what committee voted on that or what news organization voted on that, but I could see why it was voted the best pizza in Michigan. So yeah, Shields' Pizza on Woodward Avenue in Detroit, Telegraph Road in Southfield, and of course, Maple Road in Troy. All that's going to do it for this week's episode. Thank you all for listening to the Sports Bar Talk, and I'll see you next week. This is Sports Bar Talk, where we got the best seat in the house.